All right, well, it's a beautiful day right now. Things might get a little goofy coming up later today. Speaking of goofy, look what kind of joker they put in the host chair this morning. Morning, my friend. Good to be with you here. Steve Hallstrom for the Need to Know Morning Show, giving Kevin and Alex the day off on this Good Friday. It's a company holiday here at our place. And so the administrative team, sales team, all taking it easy. But those of us that do the doing, we're here, at least getting you started with your day here, because there's a lot going on that we need to know about. And especially on the weather side, joining me here in the co-pilot chair today, Chris Larson. Chris pushing the buttons behind the glass and keeping me company here as well. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm doing wonderful. Thanks for coming along. It's much easier doing this show when you don't have to think about the 8 million things that go on between now and 9 o'clock and then have to push all the buttons and worry about the audio levels either. So thank you, buddy, for being here. And you and Inez came down this morning, and I asked you what time you got up today, and I was thinking after you told me, you could have just as well stayed up and done an all-nighter.
Yeah, I got up shortly after 2 this morning.
Oh, God.
Well, anything for the boss, though.
You're awesome, man. We appreciate you for doing that and for being here today. And Chris and I are going to talk through the day's news, headlines, sports, some talkers, all kinds of stuff going on. The big one yesterday was Pam Bondi got fired by President Trump. And Chris, I don't know how carefully you have followed this story, but when Pam Bondi got hired as the AG, former state attorney general in Florida, I thought home run hire, and she talked a good game. But something about how she was doing it did not satisfy the president, and there's a lot of speculation all over out there. The president continues to talk very well of her, and even in a statement yesterday said she's a great American patriot and a loyal friend, and she's going to be transitioning to a much-needed and important new job in the private sector. But there's nobody who's trying to make this seem like this is something that she did on her own. So the theories out there are that she didn't go hard enough after some of the people that the president wanted to make sure were brought to justice. There was also a theory out there, there is, that she did not handle the release of the Epstein files in a clear enough way, or just didn't handle that process very well. So I don't know. I guess, Chris, this is just one of these things that happens, and I'm thankful that at least there's a president in office. Like, when did Joe Biden fire anybody? And they all should have been fired at some point, it seems like. So,
was he actually in office, though?
Well, this is a very good point. The auto pen maybe did all that work. I'm not sure.
It's kind of what I'm thinking.
Yeah, but I'm glad. I mean, you have to be able to say to people when it doesn't work out, sorry, this isn't working out. And for whatever reason, it wasn't working out. The president has certainly a right and a duty to do that. And I'm glad that he did what he needed to do. Part of leadership is doing what you have to do for the sake of everybody else and for everything else, in this case, the country, when it's not going well. So, I don't know. One thing about Trump, he's not going to be afraid to make a decision. We know that.
Did you see some of the names that are floating around to take that position?
Well, I thought he moved Todd Blanche in there. I guess that's his acting AG, right?
Yep. So Blanche is in the running for
He was the number two there.
Yes, correct. He's in the running for the position full time. The other name I'm seeing is EPA Administrator Lee Zeldin.
Yeah, Lee Zeldin. Yep. There's another guy that I think, he's kind of a no-nonsense guy. Good personality. I've always thought that attorney general job, you kind of like the less personality, the better, which Todd Blanche certainly seems to fit from what I can tell.
Yep.
Have met Lee Zeldin, good guy and good communicator. We just need somebody to get in there and get those jobs done. So, yeah, the president hasn't given a specific timeline on when the replacement might be in there. But the president probably won't wait too long, but Todd Blanche will be the guy on that. And then a video or a picture surfaced about 10 minutes after that of him having lunch with Caitlin Collins in Palm Springs somewhere. The CNN reporters. So people are like, oh, here's another whatever. I just, these days with AI stuff, I just don't believe anything that I see anymore.
Right.
I really don't.
Exactly.
So we got that going on today. That's kind of a big deal. We'll kind of run down a lot of things in markets, sports, and all that as we go through the show here today. So we got a lot of ground to cover. And, yes, it is Good Friday, and it is something of a holiday for most of us, and certainly around our company it is. But a lot of things that we want to talk about and that we want to cover as well here as we go through the morning. So, but Pam Bondi being let go as the president's attorney general, probably the number one story that's making headlines. And when this happened yesterday, Jay Thomas actually was walking down the hall and said, hey, did you hear about this one? So this was interesting. I'll throw this out as an interesting talker as well here. And I saw this last night, and I asked my wife about this, and she said, yeah, moms do that. The headline in the forum says, 7 area moms supplying Fargo mother undergoing cancer treatment with breast milk. And the story goes on to say that after losing her husband, Shauna Erickson Abu Zar cannot breastfeed because of her cancer medications. That makes sense. So local moms are donating milk to help feed her 5-month-old son, Tarek. I am completely ignorant on this one. But to me, I say, oh, that's a little creepy that other women would donate breast milk to a mom who can't produce. I mean, it's a super kind gesture, but it seems really bizarre to me. Like, that's kind of a personal thing, and that you'd maybe just want to go with formula instead. So some of you moms out there can maybe help us out on this. 701-271-1100. Like, is this a common thing? Tracy said, yeah. So this is. So you know more about this than I do.
Yeah, it's a common thing. And I've actually had some friends that donate breast milk. It's actually for the mom, obviously, giving to another mom, very rewarding.
I bet it is.
It is.
Yeah, it seems like such a personal thing, though, that, like, don't you get, like, certain DNA and certain things that are you that get passed on to the child that is kind of specific to the mom and child relationship? Maybe, I guess not, because if that was the case, probably nobody would do it. But that one just surprised me today yesterday when I saw that story. But, I mean, how wonderful that these women are doing that. They all must obviously have babies of their own and all jumping in to help. And it's a wonderful humanitarian story. But the first thing I thought about on this one was just, oh, that just doesn't seem quite right. But I may be the only one who was not aware of this. Tiger Woods has now had the body cam video released after he was stopped and arrested for DWI, that's what they do in Florida there. And the body cam video that the deputy was wearing, Tiger said, yeah, I just was looked down at my phone, all of a sudden, boom. And the deputy said, I believe your normal faculties are impaired and you're under an unknown substance, so you're under arrest for DUI. He did apparently as well. Dropped the line out there. He kind of wandered off to have a phone call, and the deputy said, can you stay over here? We kind of need to have you stay here. And he said, oh, I was just talking to the president.
I saw that this morning on Fox and Friends.
Yeah.
Good old Tiger Woods.
Well, look, I mean, Tiger's got to get some stuff figured out, obviously, and thankfully he's left, you know, he says he's left golf. I don't know how seriously he was golfing these days. He was at the indoor simulator contest, whatever they have, the Tiger Woods indoor golf thing, which is really cool, by the way. I don't mean to downgrade it all, but he played in that, hit a few shots in that. But I mean, I don't know if Tiger's working 8 hours a day on his golf game, but he needs to work 8 hours a day, probably more, on just getting his life together and just making better choices. He had a couple of hydrocodone pills in his pocket, so it's a tough deal. Now, Tiger's dating Vanessa Trump, president, I guess you'd say former daughter-in-law, Don Jr.'s, I think, first wife. And Tiger's dating someone who's kind of in the family there still. But I don't know if you're a Tiger. Is that like the right thing to do to kind of bring the president into it? I don't know. I did hear the video or hear the audio, and it didn't sound like he was trying to say, hey, you better let me go because I know the president. It didn't sound like that to me. How about you?
No, it didn't sound like that at all.
Okay, so you and I are on the same page with this one, but I don't know. It just seems like the not the right thing. I guess this whole segment I was turned into like, was this the right thing to do? It feels like you didn't need to bring the president in on it. And the president has said before, he's talked a little bit about Tiger and recently came out and said, yeah, Tiger, great guy and love the dude, but he's got some things to figure out right now. So after the crash, Tiger agreed to a breathalyzer that showed no signs of alcohol but refused a urine test. He was arrested, released on bail 8 hours later. Under Florida law, they changed that last year, saying if you refuse an officer's request to take any kind of a test, even for a first offense, it is a misdemeanor of DWI. So Tiger is good for golf, but a lot of people, I think, have over the years and probably still will continue to excuse his behavior because he is Tiger Woods. In my mind, the second greatest golfer of all time. Might be the greatest. I don't know. But Jack Nicklaus with the 18 majors to me is the benchmark, and Tiger didn't get there, and that's still Jack Nicklaus. So one of the great ones of all time, a transcendent golfer. At his peak, he was unbeatable, and I think when he was playing at his best compared to when Jack was playing at his best, I'd probably take Tiger, but hey, the history book says what it does. So hopefully he gets the help that he needs and can finish strong. He's got young kids, you know, and people really look up to him. So hopefully all goes well for Tiger in the days ahead here. So those are a couple of the big things going on here in the world today. Stock market finished in a pretty good territory yesterday. The Dow was down 60 points at the end, but the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ were both up yesterday. S&P 500 up 7, NASDAQ up 38. And we can give you the WTI crude oil number right now. It's about where it was when I started the Steve Halsham show yesterday at 9 o'clock. We're at 112.06 and trading, I guess, has not quite yet begun. So that's where it finished up yesterday. So that will be no bueno if those numbers continue. Likely they won't. As soon as the war gets brought to an end, those numbers will come down a little bit. But we don't need this to last very long. We certainly don't. All right, 20 past the hour coming up. After this, we're going to visit with Dean Wysocki here, get a check on the weather. That is, I guess, probably the other big story going on. Not really a news or sports story, but a big story for sure. We're going to be talking to Dean quite a bit about the weather. The big, I don't know if it's a big storm or just like a heavy snowfall coming our way, but sounds like things are going to get a little interesting after we got about 3 inches of snow here in the metro yesterday. Need to Know Morning Show with Steve and Chris rolls on after this. Yeah, one of the best weekends on the calendar for those of us of the faith. Happy Good Friday to you. I guess you don't say Happy Good Friday, right? You say Good Friday or just hope it's a meaningful day. But Easter's coming. Sunday's coming. And we rejoice in that. Good morning, friend. Good to be with you here. Steve Hallstrom, Chris Larson on the Need to Know Morning Show, giving Kevin and Alex the day off as they're enjoying the holiday weekend with friends and family. So glad to be here. Doing this. Dean Wysocki joins us, chief meteorologist. Dino's working this morning, too. And, buddy, the least they could do is let us have an uninterrupted night of sleep before we come in early to do the show. Did you get the silver alert last night?
I did. And it was funny because I thought, man, that doesn't sound like my alarm. That's not Alexa. No, it wasn't. Oh, man.
And it's always the worst for me, like when I've just fallen asleep not too long ago, right? You know, and then here we go. So it was about 8 hours ago, we got the a silver alert for a missing Wahpeton man. And I've not seen anything since that says that they found him. So hopefully they have. But a lot of times these things, you get the warning and then, you know, like an hour later, yeah, we found the guy. So, but we haven't heard that yet.
Yeah. Well, Bonnie was reporting that he was last seen in Valley City at a gas station in Valley City. Okay. So hopefully they find the individual.
Yeah. He's driving so this is my man right here, driving a 1994 Ford F-150. So he knows a good truck when he sees one. Alfred Odin, 5'11", about 170 pounds, short grayish hair and green eyes. He is considered a vulnerable adult, so he's had some issues there. Was last seen at the Casey's in Valley City yesterday, wearing a purple zip-up jacket with a possible W emblem on the front and tan pants. So if he's whopping a man, he's got the school colors on down there. If you see him, anything stands out, Wahpeton Police Department, please. 701-642-7777. So, yeah, that was about 12:30, and I'm like, what is going on? And here we go. So, well, what's going on the weather side, Dino? Is this thing looking better, worse, or about the same as you thought
looking
yesterday?
Looking about the same as yesterday. Now, if you're doing any travel for the Easter holiday weekend, get it done today, and you've got most of the day to do it. Let's say the first half of the day.
All right.
Looks pretty good. Now, if you're going west towards Bismarck, Dickinson, they're going to be getting the snow by mid to late morning. So a lot earlier out west. It's already snowing heavily now in areas east of Rapid City through most of central South Dakota. The northern edge of the snow band is just south of the South Dakota border, South Dakota, North Dakota border. So it's just creeping in northward. So it's coming in from the south and west. So areas to the southwest of the FM area are going to get this a little earlier. Here in the FM area, I'm expecting the snow to start probably by mid-afternoon, earlier to our south and west. And in Lakes Country, Bemidji, Thief River Falls, you probably won't see it till close to sunset. So okay. If you're doing any travel today, get it done this morning, early afternoon, you're good to go. The heart of the storm is going to come in overnight after sunset through about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning. That's when the worst of this is going to be with heavy snow. We will have some wind with it. And with temperatures dipping back into the upper 20s tonight, we will be dealing with some blowing and drifting of the snow. Not a lot, because this is going to be that heavy, wet snow. So there's not going to be a lot of blowing and drifting, but there will be some overnight. And the snow will start to taper off by tomorrow, let's say about 2 o'clock, and then lighten up quite a bit as we head towards tomorrow evening. And, again, most of the state is going to get blanketed with snow. Lighter amounts to the north, so up in the far northern valley into northwest Minnesota, we're probably looking at about 3 to 6. That's the lighter amounts. From the 94 corridor, and I'm talking from Dickinson through Bismarck, Jamestown, those areas picking up pretty close to 4 to 6 inches. You get a little further south of the interstate, let's say from the Jamestown, Lisbon, that way going northeastward. So Jamestown, Lisbon area stretching up through Fargo and up towards Bemidji. That looks to be the corridor of some of the heavier snow, where I'm thinking here in the FM area, we're going to get about 6 to 10 inches, leaning more towards the 8 to 10 here in the FM area.
This is new snow now.
This is new snow now. This is new snow. So on top, and we picked up anywhere between 2 to 4 inches across the FM area yesterday. So this would be on top of that.
Okay.
So I'm thinking about 8 to 10 inches here in the FM area. You get up towards Bemidji and then into the Arrowhead, they're looking at 12 to 15.
Okay.
So those areas are going to get hit the hardest. And again, the heaviest part of this system is going to come in tonight and through about mid to late morning tomorrow. That'll be the heart of it.
So it's going to snow pretty hard then when it hits, because that's a fairly short amount of time for us to get 8 to 10 inches.
Yeah, it is.
Snow.
But the heaviest stuff will come when we're sleeping tonight.
Yep. Yeah. Okay.
Unless you're out on the town, then it won't. But, and I did some digging. If this pans out the way it's supposed to, let's say 8, 10 inches, this will be the biggest storm we've had here in Fargo since March of 23.
23. Okay. And we got what yesterday? 3 inches or 3, 4 inches?
Roughly, between 3 to 4 inches here in the Fargo Moorhead area. I think South Moorhead. Picked up, I saw, I think, 3.9.
Okay.
I had about 3 in West Fargo.
Okay. So I think south side of town, kind of where I live, it was closer to 4. It was a pretty good stack there. Yeah. But I tell you, if you're a 10-year-old kid, it was the best snow of all time.
Yeah.
Because it was so easy to make snowballs and snowmen and all that good stuff. All right, thanks, Dino. We'll check in with you in a little bit. All right, it is coming up on 6:30. Time for us to check in on Fox Business for the Business Report. 37 past the hour here, 6 o'clock on the Need to Know Morning Show. Steve Hallstrom, Chris Larson in today for Alex and Kevin. Enjoying the Easter weekend. Hope that you will get a chance to unplug a little bit today, too. It's a company holiday here. Scotty and I, back when we kind of founded this company, well, Scott founded the company. I came along a few years later, and we started talking about holidays, and we said, you know what? Let's do something that I think the good Lord would be proud of. Let's give our team Good Friday as a holiday. And honestly, yeah, probably most people check out about lunchtime or so anyway on this day, unless they've got to be in pushing the buttons and saying the words. So we've done this for, I don't know, the last 10 years or so as a company holiday. And I'm looking forward to about lunchtime today when I'll be able to get on out of here too and start enjoying the weekend. So cannot wait. Going to have a whole bunch of people over to the house on Sunday, and that should be a ton of fun. All of our weather updates here on the in this 6 o'clock hour of the Need to Know Morning Show are brought to you by Agassi Equipment and Rental, Agassi Sales. At Agassi, their mission is to support the hardworking people who build, grow, and sustain our region. More than just a company, we're neighbors, partners, and stewards of the land, proudly serving our local communities by providing dependable construction and ag equipment, as well as expert drain tile installation that helps farms and farm fields thrive and fields flourish. Check them out online at agassieq.com, agassieq.com. All right, let's do this here. We got a text message in here. And by the way, if you have been kind of wondering what the text update is, we changed text line services yesterday. And the nice thing about it now, you can call us at 701-271-1100 and jump in on the program. Or you can text us at that same number. So there's only one number to remember now. And that is 701-271-1100. So whether it's a text or a phone call, always glad to hear from you. If you're traveling around today and want to give us a road report or tell us what you're doing on Good Friday, hey, more the merrier here in the morning party. So give us a call, 701-271-1100, or shoot us a text message from the text line. Guys, do you suppose Howard Wolowitz designed the toilet on the Orion spacecraft the same way he developed the one for the International Space Station that clogged due to the potato diet of the Russians? What a doozy to start out our day on the text line. Chris, I have no idea about any of this.
I don't either, and I saw that text, and I'm like, boy, if that's how we're going to start our day,
yeah,
it's going to be a great day.
Well, the Orion spacecraft, I knew about that. I did not know the name Howard Wolowitz or potatoes and the Russians. But
yeah, I was just saying, I didn't know Russians were on a potato diet.
I don't know. I guess it works.
Like a messy situation.
Starches and carbs,
yeah,
I suppose. It works. By the way, I'll just say this while we're talking about potatoes here.
Oh, boy.
There is nothing better than a potato with butter and salt on it. I don't know if there is. I love the sugary stuff, too. But, man, oh, man. Like some mashed potatoes with some butter and salt on it. Just so darn good.
Should go find some after the show this morning, Steve.
Some mashed potatoes?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, a lot of times in the growing up, you'd go out for lunch at a diner or restaurant in your town, and everybody had potatoes, mashed potatoes, like, you know, open-faced roast beef sandwich with gravy or turkey or so. Oh, those are good.
I think mashed potatoes needs to be its own food group.
Yeah, I think so, too. Hard to find. hard to find good potatoes these days. So.
Exactly.
All right, let's give you some sports headlines here at 6:41. On this Friday morning. Boy, I can't wait for football season to start. Draft is not too far around the corner. And then we'll play that NFL Films music left and right here. All right, we're going to start with a little opening day for the Minnesota Twins. The Twins will play their home opener against the Tampa Bay Rays today at 3:10. Those are the cold, hard facts. It's going to be 40 degrees at best for this game today. So looks like they're going to start in the 30s. It might get to 40. And there will be some rain coming in around 6 o'clock in the Twin Cities. So It's going to be cloudy, overcast, breezy, and cold. Oh, boy. Those guys are saying, why didn't I sign with Miami or a Texas team here? The Diamondbacks in Arizona. But no, I had to sign with the Twins. It's going to be 40 degrees here. Twins are 2-4 after getting a win yesterday. They got a good start from Taj Bradley. And, Chris, I don't know that I figured Taj Bradley would be the hero of this whole operation. But the Twins now have won both of their games when Taj Bradley has started on the mound.
Oh, boy.
So, yeah, Twins 2-4. And Taj is apparently the guy we're going to have to lean on here. The players on the in the clubhouse afterwards were saying that, hey, this guy, he's got great stuff, and he can wing it. So maybe the Twins have got a diamond in the rough there. I think he is their number three starter. But he was good yesterday, and he ended a three-game losing streak by the Twins there, prevented a sweep by the home team. Six innings, no runs allowed, Chris. Six shutout innings
for Taj
Bradley.
Yeah. What?
Yep.
For the
just
Minnesota
one walk
Vikings.
And five hits. He scattered five hits, they say, in the business. And three strikeouts as well. Hit 100 miles an hour on one of his pitches on a fastball there. So maybe they've got something there.
You better get the Minnesota State Patrol out there if he's throwing that fast.
Oh, boy. Well, the Twins, I think, are going to be able to use every good break and every wonderful development they didn't expect as they can this year. All right, the Minnesota Wild are officially in the playoffs after beating Vancouver last night. Matt Boldy had a couple of goals. And Kirill Kaprizov lit the lamp as well as the Wild came from behind to beat Vancouver, the worst team in hockey, 5-2 at Grand Casino Arena in St. Paul. I turned it on after the first period, and it was 2-1 Vancouver after 4 days off and Vancouver being the worst team in the league. And I'm like, these guys are going to lose in four straight to Dallas in the first round of the playoffs, and this team that looked so promising is just going to absolutely fall apart. But they turned it around, and were actually really good from that point on. So good for the Wild. They are the third-best team in the conference, third-best team in the division, and they have clinched a playoff spot. So good stuff there. Ryan Hartman had a couple of goals as well. The Minnesota Timberwolves lost last night to Detroit in the Motor City, 113-108. The Pistons are having a very good year. Got some good young draft picks. They were terrible, you know, 3-4 years ago, but that means you get good draft picks, and they're putting it all together. The Wolves are having a very good year anyway, 46-30 now, and they were without their two of their best players. Anthony Edwards did not play, and then they had one other of their dudes that did not play either. Oh, Jaden McDaniels did not play. So, honestly, if they were in a competitive game at Detroit, 5 points without those two, not too much to worry about there. The Wolves continue to have a really good season there. So I think they're fourth in the Western Conference right now. Molly Lenz has announced that she's leaving the NDSU women's basketball team as a graduate student. So she's graduating, has the opportunity to go play somewhere else, and says, you know what, it's been great to be a Bison, but I'd kind of like to maybe do something else for my last year. So on her way she goes. She was an important part of this team that had an amazing year. I think set the record for most wins in the Division I era. And she's a 5'8 guard, began her college career at Illinois State in 2023 and transferred to NDSU in 2024. She's going to do the transfer thing one more time. Started in all 67 games she played at NDSU over the last couple of seasons, so we wish her well. And one of the Twins, though, by the way, they made a trade yesterday with the Miami Marlins for a pitcher, Garrett Acton. He had a 3.68 ERA in the minor leagues last year. He was basically released by Miami. And Miami's got a decent little starting rotation there. But this guy's a relief pitcher. So we'll see. When Miami's ditching pitchers, maybe they're not the first guys you want to pick up usually, but they've been a little better on the pitching the last couple of years. So there you go on that. I should also mention you, Tom Hoge shot a 171 yesterday in the first round of the Valero Texas Open down in San Antonio. Mark Hubbard leads the way after day one with a score of 7 under par. So Tommy's got a little work to do to try to get toward the top there. The cut line, they'll play one more round today before they cut. He'll need to be probably 2 under, it looks like, to make the cut. So hopefully he can do that, get another birdie or two, and play the weekend. If not, you get Easter weekend off. That's not such a bad thing. Although when you're playing golf for a living, you want to make sure you're in there doing that thing. So that is a look at sports. All right, when we come back, this day in history, some of the things that have happened on this day throughout the years. We've got some celebrity birthdays to tell you about. TV Guide was founded on this day not too long ago, but a little while ago. So we'll talk about that too. The Need to Know Morning Show rolls on right after this. Need to Know Morning Show on this Good Friday. Kevin and Alex getting the day off. Steve Alstrom, Chris Larson hanging out with you. Chris, how are the roads driving in? You guys came from up in the Mayville area this morning.
Yeah, so Highway 200 going east to Interstate was, we had drifting over the roads in the Shelter Belts area. Otherwise, Interstate good. I mean, semis were passing us. Yep. They were wet. Yep. Just glad it didn't get any colder last night.
Yeah, side streets in town were good coming in. I-29, obviously, really good coming in. Main roads good. So I had no troubles there. I didn't notice any slipping or sliding at all. And I kind of wondered, you know, overnight. It was right around 32, 33, but it seemed fine here. So, all right, from the text line, we were talking about, what do you say about Good Friday? And one of the, from the text line, Steve, I think you say celebrate Good Friday. So there you go. That makes sense on that one. Also from the text line, it's interesting. Bill Clinton, 8 years in office, one attorney general. Obama, 8 years, one attorney general. Otto Penn, one term, one attorney general. Trump, less than 8 years, working on number four. I guess the rear guard in the DOJ only likes crooked Democrat attorney generals to put people in jail while the crooks walk free. Not sure what all the messages there are all about. Seemed like we covered a ton of things. We got more information on Howard Wolowitz. He was the engineer on the sitcom Big Bang Theory. Oh, Big Bang Theory. He was the one who designed the toilet for the International Space Station, which failed. That's what he blamed it on. Oh, I didn't know that. Huh. My family loves Big Bang Theory. I don't know that I've watched it much, but anyway. Dean's here with a check of the weather, so Dean, the most important guy in the place here today. All right, I'm seeing that we are still, and by the way, weather brought to you this morning by Labor Masters. Get the right workers right away, your premier day labor agency, and if you're looking to make a little extra money, you can go in, go to work, go home, and get paid all in the same day. That's how you do it. That's how they do it over there at Labor Masters. Labormasters.net, or call them at 701-566-8755. You got some time off today, call them right now. They're open, and they'll put you to work today. 566-8755. So, Dino, National Weather Service says we got a winter storm warning that is going to start at 1 o'clock today.
Right.
And they say we could get a foot of snow here.
It's not out of the question. I think it's going to be closer. And you're splitting hairs when you're saying, no, we're only going to get 10.
Yeah.
So, but I think.
Is there much of a difference?
There really isn't. There's going to be, I would say it's a safe bet. 6 to 12 is a large range. It is. But I think focusing more on the 8 to 12 in the FM area with 14 to 17 from Bemidji through the Arrowhead.
That's crazy.
So, yeah, this will be the biggest.
Although they love it up there. Oh, they're a little different up
absolutely.
That way. Absolutely. The sleds out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but this stuff clogs up the sleds. It's going to be all that wet, heavy stuff. But you know what? They'll still get out.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Will.
No doubt about it. So if you have travel plans for this Easter holiday weekend, get them done today. Because it will go downhill not until about mid to late afternoon. That's when things will start to get a little slippery. But before that, I think we're good to go. Again, as Steve said, winter storm warning goes into effect starting at 1 in the FM area, about 4 o'clock in Lakes Country. This system is coming in from the south and west. So areas to the southwest of the FM area will get the snow a little sooner, and then that spreads into the FM area here as we head towards early afternoon. We'll have highs today in the low 30s, and northeast winds about 10 10 to 15. Then that snow will continue overnight, and it will be heavy. We'll see banding of heavy snow. And where exactly that banding of the heavy snow sets up, those are the areas that are going to get a foot. Now, it's hard to tell where that banding will set up until about the time it starts setting up, like to our south and west. Then we can kind of see where that's going to pivot northward. But areas that do see the banding of the heavy snow will easily get a foot out of this overnight into tomorrow. The heavy snow will continue through Saturday about 10 a.m., then start to taper off as we head into the afternoon, and the snow should be out of here by tomorrow evening. And again, total snowfall in the FM area about 8 to 12. I'm focusing more on about 10, 11 inches here. Heavier amounts off into the Bemidji and into the Arrowhead, where some of those areas could pick up anywhere between 14 and 17 inches. Now, if for some reason this storm system weakened a bit, so the best case scenario in terms of lower snowfall would be 4 to 9 here in the FM area. So either way, we're going to get at least 6 inches, and focusing more closer to 10.
What are the chances that this is a bust and we get an inch or two? Is that
That's not a possibility.
All right. You're saying the least that we could get is maybe four.
4 to 6. Yeah.
4 to 6.
That would be if this thing somehow fell apart.
Yeah.
You know, I don't see that happening.
Okay.
I just don't. I don't.
And on the high end, everything fell just right.
And the heavy snow bands concentrated right over the valley.
Yeah.
I think we could easily get 12 inches. I think 12 inches would be the high. There's some models trying to push this. As the highest I've seen is 13. Mm-hmm. Most models are anywhere between that 8 to 12 inch range.
Okay.
So
some are between 4 and 12, 4 and 13.
Yeah, that's a big spread.
Who knows?
That's a big spread. But I think, in the FM area, about an 8 to 10, 8 to an 11 inch range. And that's on top of what we've got right now.
Got it.
Yeah. And then by Easter Sunday, things will be much improved. We'll see a little bit of sunshine, temperatures in the mid to upper 30s.
Okay.
So the road conditions will improve quite a bit. If you have travel on Easter Sunday, it should be much improved compared to tomorrow.
How about next week now? Is it going to be warm enough that we're going to melt all this away?
I don't think we'll melt all of it away, but we'll melt a good majority of it away. We'll have temperatures next week in the 40s. It'll take a while to normal. We're getting some indications that around the 9th or 10th of the month, we could have another system coming in here. That one looks to mainly affect the western part of the state, though.
Okay.
But something we'll keep an eye on. By mid-month, here's the good news. I do see us getting more 50s into the forecast as we head towards mid-month.
Okay. Average high 47 now, so it's getting warmer.
It sure is.
And on this day in 1910, it was 79. Wouldn't that be nice? I'll take that. Yeah, good stuff. All right, thank you, Dino.
You bet.
Hour 2 of the program coming up next. It is a beautiful day. Got a gorgeous sunrise starting out here over in the eastern sky. As we get into hour number 2 of the Need to Know Morning Show, Steve Hallstrom, Kevin Flynn and Alex Taylor off today. Chris Larson, my buddy's hanging out with me, pushing the buttons, making the job a heck of a lot easier on this end. And we got 2 more hours left before we get you up to some special holiday programming. Normally it'd be the Steve Hallstrom Show, but today the Steve Hallstrom Show came 3 hours earlier. I guess we can say it that way. This hour of the program is brought to you in part by Beverage Wholesalers. Randy and Donna, my friends over at Beverage Wholesalers, a great distributor of some of the premium brands and beverages that we have in our community. Voodoo Ranger IPA beer, one of the really high-level products. You go anywhere around the country and say, give me a Voodoo Ranger. They know exactly what you're talking about there. And they've got all kinds of fantastic beverages that they make possible here. And they help people have good times, no doubt about that. And they also want to remind you that when you tip one back, when you lift a glass, when you crack one open here on this Easter weekend, please do remember the men and women who serve us in our military. Randy and Donna, big fans of the military and the service men and women who basically risk everything. And we've seen that, haven't we, in this war in Iran? We've lost, I think, 7 or 8? Although, when you think about it, isn't that cool? We've not had a loss of life over there, at least that any that have been reported now for a couple of weeks. So, thank the good Lord for that here that we've had on this Easter week. We've had no loss of life over there. But all those people who are serving our country are doing it in some way or shape, whether they're serving right here in our community We heard about some of the National Guard soldiers going to D.C. for enforcement and patrol in the nation's capital. That's very important. And, of course, those who serve and put themselves in harm's way for us. Let us never forget them. And Randy and Donna want to make sure that we all remember that here on this Easter weekend as well. Good folks over there at Beverage Wholesalers. We thank them for their sponsorship here on the Need to Know morning show. Dean is going to be in a little bit to talk weather. The headline of the whole weather report today is that we will be starting at 1 o'clock this afternoon in a winter storm warning. Dean says it's going to snow heavy. He said the worst possible outcome for snow, 13 inches. The best possible, 4. But he says, I think it feels like 10 inches of snow coming out of this one. So somewhere between 8 and 12 is what Dean is saying. National Weather Service is saying between 7 and 12. It will be a little windy, but that snow is kind of going to be that heavy, wet, compacted snow. So you're not going to get the that kind of ground drifting and blowing that you can get during the middle of the winter there. But it could be really tough to get around from this evening, overnight, into tomorrow morning, maybe by lunchtime or so. Looks like things are going to be clearing up. But the winter storm warning will remain in effect until 7 o'clock tomorrow night. So Dean with more details coming up here in just a few minutes. I saw a report earlier today, Chris Larson, from the National Confectioners Association. These are the people that make candy.
Oh, boy.
That when people take a bite of the Easter Bunny, your chocolate Easter Bunny, they will typically go after one part of the bunny first. What part do you suppose that is?
The head?
Yeah, well, the ears is
the ear?
Specifically. Yeah, people want to bite off the ears. That 70% of people who take the first chomp out of the chocolate bunny will go for the ears. 16% will go for the feet. You know, you got a little nub on the bottom,
yep.
Right?
Yep.
And then there are 6% of you deviants out there who go after the tail. You might be a little messed up if you're chewing on the tail the first thing. Like, go, come on, ears or feet, yes. Tail, those people
don't
walk among
judge
us too.
Me.
Well, I'm gonna. If you've got ears and feet to go after, you're chomping on the backside of that rabbit. I don't know. I've got some questions about that whole thing.
You've questioned a lot of things about me, I'm sure.
Well, this would be maybe a top of the list. Maybe the top of the list there. 11 past 7 here as we get started here on the Need to Know Morning Show. A beautiful start to the day right now, as I mentioned. Current temp in Fargo, Moorhead, West Fargo. We've been kind of just hanging right around that, that freezing mark all morning. It's 32 right now as well. Never really got much colder than that overnight. And if you go the kind of hour by hour, slow warm up till about lunchtime, 40 is going to be our high. And that will be very similar to what they've got in the Twin Cities for their weather as well for the Twins opener day. Actually, I take that back. I still have my Minneapolis screen up. 29 right now in Fargo. It's been right around there all night. And we're going to warm it up a little bit. We'll get to a high today right around 35. And we and the folks in the Twin Cities could see some rain coming up as the day goes on. As well, it's going to be just kind of that no man's land of temperatures where you might get a little bit of this and a little bit of that. The big story of the day is that President Trump fired Pam Bondi yesterday from her position as Attorney General. He has installed Todd Blanche as the acting Attorney General. Blanche, the kind of number two in command. Trump had good things to say about him. Some, though, have privately been mentioning that maybe some of the reasons that things didn't happen as quickly under Pam Bondi as the president wanted was that Todd Blanche was not moving them forward as quickly. So you get a lot of speculation on something like this. Speaking of speculation, there is a lot of it that Lee Zeldin, the EPA administrator, might be the guy. And some unnamed sources tell CBS News that is to be the likely pick. The president met with Lee Zeldin on Tuesday. Now, we're not sure what about, but maybe it's that. He's a former congressman who is an attorney, does not have an extensive legal background, some will say. And so, you know, is that going to be an issue or not? I would think as an attorney general, you got to have a fair amount of, you know, trial experience, legal experience to do that job very well. There are other possibilities out there as well. Pam Bondi apparently is going to be taking a job in the private sector. This kind of sounded like, okay, we're going to say that you're taking another job, but I think everybody's going to know the story on that one. So that's what we pick up out of that. What's going on in the war in Iran today? The president, I'll give you a little digest here, kind of 3-4 things that I picked up on from yesterday. The president warned yesterday that the U.S. has not even, quote, started destroying what's left in Iran, and previewed that strikes on bridges and power plants could be next. As you probably know by now, on, Wednesday night, the president in the primetime speech said that all their objectives are basically met over there, but there are a few things yet to finish up with, and that Iran has basically been completely neutralized militarily. But the president has not yet offered a lot of details on how the war might wrap up or exactly what kind of time frame we're looking at there. Oil prices surged yesterday, and they pretty much stayed right about where they started when they jumped right out of the gate. They were up about 11% yesterday, about $112 a barrel on WTI. And, of course, oil prices mean higher gas prices, and that means higher prices for everything else on the shelf as well. So it looks like we're going to have, at least for a little while, some of those higher prices in the store. So the inflation numbers, hopefully this doesn't last very long. But it figures to be a deal where we have a little bit of persistent inflation here for maybe the next couple, 3 months. We'll see what happens there. Iran has threatened more destructive retaliatory attacks in the days ahead. But, of course, that's just what they're going to say. Because they really don't have much of any way to do much of anything, but they're going to be talking a big game, no doubt about that. All right, so that's some of the big stuff going on in the conflict over there in Iran. We have a few little nuggets to pass along to you about this day in history. On this day, down throughout the years, born on this day in 1367, King Henry IV of England was born. Doris Day was born on this day in 1922. Maybe one of the first sort of, what do we call her? Vaudeville is not the right word, but Doris Day, kind of a flash of femininity, I'll say it that way, and did not shy away from that. Wayne Newton was born on this day in 1942. And I believe that Wayne Newton is still with us. So I believe that's the story going on with him. Tony Orlando, Tie a Yellow Ribbon. You remember that song? Tony Orlando and Dawn. He's 82 today, born in 1944. Alec Baldwin, the actor. A ton of stuff there. And trying to remember all the Baldwins, but I think it's Alec Baldwin, who is not a friend of the conservative side. Turned 68 today. Eddie Murphy turned 65. Probably the first comedian that I remember really doing stand-up comedy. And it was PG-13, no doubt, but that guy was funny. The first stand-up comedy I ever saw was Bill Cosby himself. And I didn't even know that there were people that were that funny in the world. And Eddie Murphy, another one of them. And then one more here for you. Those of us who grew up in the in the 80s, Sebastian Bach from Skid Row turns 58 today. Congratulations to him for making it to 58. He's lived a good full life there. It is, of course, speaking of births and some people passing, of course, Good Friday today. And an Oxford University study done back about 50 years ago said that history proves biblical teaching on this, that this is the actual day that Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross. TV Guide was founded on this day back in 1953, and it sold for 15 cents a copy. The first cover featured Desi Jr., the son of Lucille Ball, and Desi Arnaz.
Do you remember the day you got that, Steve?
The TV Guide?
Yeah, the first ever edition of the TV Guide.
You know, we didn't get it on the farm. So I think the Star Tribune, which we did get a subscription to, those, I think they had a TV Guide. I know they did, but I think growing up, that's where we got it. And the TV Guide was if you wanted, like, the Cadillac version. But we didn't have any problem just going by what the Star Tribune sent out back when the Star Tribune was trustable. On this day in 1966, USSR's Luna 10 became the first spacecraft to orbit the moon. On this day in 1980, the prime interest rate hit 20%. Oh, they started at 20 and then added their margin from there. Woo! On this day in 1983, the longest car ramp jump record was set at 232 feet. Wow. I don't know that I've ever had the guts to even think about it in a car. We used to set up bike ramps and jump when we were little. Jump over cans and stuff like that. Yeah, there wasn't too much bloodshed on that. But there was a little bit, no doubt about that. A few scrapes and bruises and bumps. On this day in 1994, Charles Kuralt hosted CBS's Sunday Morning for the last time. Boy, the end of an era. Charles Kuralt, one of those great news names. I do remember that growing up. And on this day in 1996, suspected Unabomber Ted Kaczynski arrested at his cabin near Lincoln, Montana. And it took that dude out of circulation there. All right, 7:20 here on the Need to Know Morning Show. Steve and Chris in for Alex and Kevin. When we come back, Dino will join us. Updated. Dino's been running the scans. What do we need to know about this weather system? All the details coming up next.
Back in the Need to Know Morning Show, Steve Hallstrom, Chris Larson here. Steve, what you doing, buddy?
Oh, I'm sorry. I got talking to Dean.
Shocker.
We're talking about women, actually. So,
I'm going to bow off.
Steve's, yeah, he's giving me good advice.
I was learning. Actually, I was learning some tips here. Who says romance is dead, Dino?
Oh no, of
Let's
course
go.
Not.
Yesterday was Dean's girlfriend Christy. It was her birthday, and Dean did it right, man. You cooked up a little plan.
So, you know, I always like to do something different, something to surprise, and I said, you know what? So I was talking to Bonnie. I said, hey, are there any barbershop quartets in town here? And she gave me a name of a couple of them, and I researched and I couldn't find them. So I just did a Google search, and I came across this group called the Ransom Notes. And I said, oh, okay. I said, well,
great
so,
name, by the way.
Isn't it? I know.
That's the Ransom Notes.
And,
love it.
And the gentleman that runs Ransom Notes, Ken, he's an avid listener.
Ah, okay.
So and I didn't know that. So I gave him a call, and I said, hey.
Everybody's an avid listener, Dean Wysocki. Yeah. Come on. Who's not?
And I said, hey, it's Christy's birthday coming up here. I said, do you guys, will you go out and sing and serenade them for their birthday? He goes, absolutely. And so I asked him how much, and he threw me a price. I said, is that it?
Okay.
I said, excellent. I said, let's get this. So they went out to Christy's workout at NDSU, and they serenaded her.
Oh,
it was
very nice.
So – I'll tell you what. If you're looking to surprise your significant other, you know, have a barbershop quartet, these guys were – not only were they funny, but they sounded absolutely just spectacular. Spot on. These guys were fantastic.
Yeah, fun
they were
stuff.
Fantastic.
What so. That would be a fun job, right? If you're a good singer
right.
and people hiring you to go out and brighten somebody's day,
yep.
that's the way to
Isn't
do it.
Isn't it, though? I know. And, you know, these guys, I believe most of them are retired,
yep.
and they just go out. They said they love doing this. Mm. I said, well, hats off, man. They sound great. They
okay.
really do.
All right, so if any of the Ransom Note guys are listening, call us at 271-1100. We want to give you guys a shout-out here, a little free advertising. Today because that's some good stuff there. So
yeah, no
all right,
doubt.
Dino. We nobody's going to be wanting to promote this weather forecast.
No,
here.
Unfortunately, no. It's in fact, I was looking long term, and by long term, I'm looking out the next 2 weeks. And I hate to say this, this probably won't be our last snow.
Oh,
it will be our last. It looks like it'll be our last big snow, but we're kind of in the little stormier part of that LRC cycle through the next 10 days. after that, I do see signs of a bigger warm-up after about 10, 12 days from now. But let's focus on the here and now, because we do have winter storm warnings blanketing the entire listening area. So we're going to see snow, and it is going to be heavy in most places, heavier in a certain corridor, and I'll go down that in a little bit. But today we're looking at the clouds increasing here in the FM area. Winter storm warning goes into effect this afternoon. We'll see snow spreading in from the south and west. You're good to go travel-wise through early afternoon. Now, by your evening commute, we will start to see a little bit of slippery travel, but the really heavy snow comes in overnight tonight. We'll see snow heavy at times with lows in the upper 20s, a little breezy out of the northeast at 10 to 25, and then Saturday winds turn to the northwest. We'll see snow heavy in the morning, but then tapering off very quickly as we head into the afternoon. Now, total snowfall is going to range, and I know this sounds like a wide range, and it is, 6 to 12 inches across the area, with even higher amounts from Bemidji into the Arrowhead. Now, here in the FM area, there's going to be a banding of the heavy snow stretching from about Lisbon through Fargo and up towards Bemidji. Now, exactly where that heavier banding of the snow sets up, that's where the higher amounts are going to be. I think here in the FM area, we're looking at probably an 8 to 10, 8 to an 11-inch range. And that's on top of what we had yesterday as well. That's
which was what, 3, 4 inches?
About 3, 4 inches across the area. So we're going to have a healthy snowpack. But the good news is, by Easter Sunday, the roads should be cleared off. We're going to see a little bit of sunshine. That'll help melt away a lot of the stuff on the roadways anyway, except the side streets and that. You'll see slushy stuff still there. But much improved weather for Easter Sunday. But again, a good 8 to 10, 8 to 11 inches across the FM area, with even higher amounts in Northern Lakes Country. Now, up in the Northern Valley, we're looking at probably about 4 to 6, 4 to 7 up around Grand Forks. If you're going south towards, let's say, Wahpeton through Detroit Lakes, probably about the same, about a 4 to 7 inch band.
Okay, very good. And it's going to warm up a little bit, but we're not going to have those 50s that we've had. So this snow is going to stick around a little bit.
Yeah, I was hoping we'd see 50s sometime next week, but we're stuck in the 30s and 40s.
Okay.
Yeah, and then as we head into, like I said, we've got the LRC had something between the 9th and 11th, and then another one right around mid-month, and then things break after mid-month, looks like.
Yep, okay.
We got a ways to go.
Yeah, we do.
Mother Nature's paying us back. We've had a cakewalk winter this year. We're over 20 inches below normal for snowfall.
Yeah. So we'll play catch up
here in just a little bit.
But I'll tell you what, Dino, if we're going to get, whatever, 12 to 15 inches of snow, which we might all together out of this whole thing, I'd rather have it now than the middle of January,
because it
now
melts away.
We're going to get rid of it.
Yeah.
The ground is warmer, and I was surprised the stuff that fell on my driveway yesterday, how fast that kind of was melting from the bottom up.
Yeah.
So that was kind of nice.
And even when it's cloudy, with the sun angle higher in April, you get insulation through the cloud cover.
Yeah.
So that high April sun, even if it's cloudy, it'll melt stuff on the roadways and also on sidewalks and driveways as well, even if it's cloudy.
Yeah, we'll take this stuff. This
no doubt.
So bad,
we'll get through it.
All right, buddy. Appreciate you.
You got it.
Dean Wysocki, chief meteorologist, keeping us informed here on the weather. Cass County Electric is your source for information. When there is an outage, their monitors will tell you right away if there is something that is happening with an outage. And they will make sure that you are in the know, because, hey, when you lose power, that's a bad deal. CassCountyElectric.com, CassCountyElectric.com, bringing you the weather report here this morning. All right, coming up, Fox Business. We're waiting the March jobs report to come out here momentarily on this day. It's Good Friday today. It's also National Find a Rainbow Day, National Chocolate Mousse Day, National American Circus Day, and for those of you with an old sport coat, National Tweed Day. Now time for some business. Good Friday, 2026. Steve Hallstrom in for Kevin and Alex this morning on the Need to Know Morning Show. Chris Larson hanging out with me here as well on the program today. We are getting some eye-opening numbers out of the March jobs report. We're going to play that for you here in just a moment. But this number is, wow. Okay, so we'll get to that in a minute. I want to tell you first, so you can send us a text message to the studio here, 701-271-1100. Yes, now the phone number and the text line are the same number. So whether you want to call us or text us, 271-1100. And the text line is brought to you by Red Wing Boots and Red Wing Shoes and Red Wing Clothes. Red Wing, they are head to toe now. They've got, you know about the boots and the shoes, fantastic stuff, right? But their clothes line, their apparel line, really great men and women's line of clothes that are at that same kind of level you get with your Carhartts, super comfortable, durable, great for wearing around town or wearing on the job site as well. So check them out, redwingshoes.com, redwingshoes.com, and you can find out about all the really good things that are available there to you. And you can also find them up on Main Avenue, 30th and Main in Fargo, the awesome store they have there. So make sure you got the right footwear on your feet when you're out at the job site. You might have to have that steel toe, but you certainly need something durable, and you need that great sole cushion that they have. Boy, nobody does it better than Red Wing. They've been doing it for a long time and doing it well. They bring you the text line here today on the Need to Know Morning Show. As I mentioned, Kevin and Alex off today for the holiday, and so glad to be with you until 9 o'clock. All right, just a moment ago, the report came in on the March jobs report, and we're going to take the Fox Business coverage of this. Going to take this for about 5 minutes or so as they talk about the number and what it means. So let's check in on Fox Business right now.
Or non-farm wow. jobs coming in, 178,000, 178,000 jobs. The expectation was 60,000 folks. The unemployment rate went down to 4.3%. The expectation was 4.4%. We didn't get a loss in manufacturing jobs. We got a hit of 15,000 manufacturing jobs. Private sector jobs, get this, folks, 186,000. The estimate was for 70,000, and the average work week, 34.2 hours. That was actually a little bit less than expected. And again, looking at the U6 underemployment rate, that was coming in at 8%. I'm going to go into the report, folks, as I do every month, and I'm going to give you a sense of where the jobs are. But as I'm doing that, I want to go over to Steve Moore. You had the same reaction I did. What a number. Wow.
Wow, what a great Easter weekend present this is. I mean, my God, this is way, way higher than even the range of forecasts. Mm-hmm. I can't quite figure it out. I have to look deeper into these numbers, but it is really good news for the economy. I think one of the things this tells us is that employers believe that the situation in the Middle East is temporary, and they're planning for the future, and they're hiring workers according to this report. And so it appears that employers and businesses believe that Trump is right, that we'll get the Straits of Hormuz open, that this is a temporary shock to the economy, and that we've got sort of smooth sailing ahead. And by the way, the fact that, again, we're seeing more private sector employment and a fall in the government employment is a very positive thing. It's been a trend we've seen so far. I didn't see what happened with the Well, I'd love to see what happened with the wage rate, but overall, wow, this is an amazing report.
The government jobs was a loss of 8,000. I want to bring that up to everybody's
attention.
That's a
big deal,
and
too.
Also, I'm in the report now to kind of see what they're saying as far as where these jobs were. Really quick, just to give everybody the earnings data for month to month and year over year, we came in average earnings month to month was a gain of 0.2%. The street was looking for a gain of 0.3%. And then as far as earnings year over year, 3.5%, which is less than expected. We were looking for 3.7%. I also want to say, Tomas Phillips, and I do want to bring you into this, that the president actually was just posting on True Social moments ago about the Strait of Hormuz, Tomas, talking about that, if we easily and we can open the strait, take the oil, make a fortune, it's a gusher for the world. That just moments ago from the president. But Tomas, your reaction to what you're seeing in these numbers?
Yeah, I mean, I think I'm very curious what happened to February as well, because this looks like February was just weather and strikes, which people kind of were speculating. In addition, also I'm concerned with February because of the BLS data. You never know, even when data is out, what's going on until the revisions come, essentially. So I think it would be, I'm very curious what happened last month, because we had a very strong January, right? So this is enormously strong.
I've actually got the revisions.
Last month was a blip.
Yeah, Tomas, let me give those to you because I usually do this with Maria as well. So February, we had a loss of 41,000 jobs. So we really didn't see a big change for the February number because, remember, we had gotten a loss. Actually, I'm sorry, I take that back. We did see a big change. We had 92,000 jobs lost for February. My apologies. The revision is now a loss of 41,000 jobs. So the February number got cut in half. Nancy Lazar got cut in half, and then January was revised to 34,000. So net 7,000 fewer jobs created than expected between
okay,
the two
so
months.
It gets a little bit into the weeds here at this point.
Nancy,
we'll duck out of this, but you remember back in February, it was a loss of 92,000 jobs, and everybody's like, "What in the world happened there?" That was, and I said at the time on my show, look, there's something we don't know, and it was either weather or it was something bizarre because that didn't make any sense. Well, that number now has been cut in half, so there was still a loss. But I think what we're seeing is whatever hiring we did it was skewed toward March and in February, whether it was weather or something else, that's why March is good. And I said at the time I would expect a big rebound in March. Didn't expect maybe this. But yeah, expectation about 60,000, we ended up with 178,000. But did you hear the note about private sector and government sector jobs? This is something that people do not talk about nearly enough, what has happened under this president. We lose government positions and we gain private sector jobs. And that, it takes a while now for that to turn into big impacts in the federal economy. But this is a sign of a healthy economy. A government job does not produce anything. A government job is overhead, regulation, bureaucracy. It doesn't make anything better in our country. It just watches or makes sure this goes there, whatever. But nothing is created with a government job. So we like it when the local accounting firm or the local construction shop or the local bakery, when they start hiring people, this is good. And we're seeing more and more of that. People don't talk nearly enough about that. I thought that was worth pointing out here today. All right, 44 past the hour, 7:44, coming up on 8 o'clock. The other number as part of that report that came out was that unemployment went down from 4.4 to 4.3. And I think this is interesting. I have sort of been thinking that sometime here in the next year or two, we're going to get a 5% unemployment number just because of all the people that were laid off or cut from government jobs, plus artificial intelligence and automation replacing some people, that I had thought we were going to see that number go a little higher this month, and it went actually a little bit lower. So my gut feeling is by the end of this year, by November, December, we'll see a 5 somewhere, and we might see a steady build to that, but maybe not. Maybe AI is creating more opportunities than I would have thought, and if we can get this economy on track in our country, which we're getting there, but kind of like every time it seems like we are on the cusp of really moving in a good direction, we have the tariffs, and that kind of creates a lot of uncertainty among employers. And boy, do I want to expand at this time when things might cost a little bit more. And now the war in Iran, which has been going on for the last 6 weeks or so, it just seems like when we're on the verge of seeing all these great things the president is doing, they kind of unwrap themselves, these presents that unwrap themselves, something else happens to kind of slow down the progress. So we'll see. Maybe there's good things in the works here coming up in the second half of the year. We can keep that unemployment rate dipping down. But what we saw today is good. It may not necessarily lead us to quick interest rate cuts, but these are good, healthy things. When the private sector is creating jobs and we're seeing unemployment going down, these are definitely good things there. All right, 7:46, we're going to take a short break here. When we come back on the other side, we get the three-degree guarantee from Dean Wysocki and get the latest update on the storm coming through. We are not yet, but we soon will be in a winter storm warning that will start this afternoon and last until tomorrow evening. So we'll get all the details from Dean on that as we continue, and a check of sports as well here on the Need to Know Morning Show. Be right back.
Need to Know Morning Show powered by Moxie Java. Moxie Java here at the Zoo Sales and Leasing Studios. We'll be right back.
From the text line this morning, Steve, did you know Tom Hoge is not currently in the Masters field? I did know that. Yeah, you. In order to be in the Masters, you got to be top 50 in the world. You have to have won in the last, I think, 2 years, and then you have to make it to the Tour Championship the year before. You have to make it to the Tour Championship the year before. And Tom's 106 in the world golf rankings right now. So he's playing this week in the Valero Texas Open. Basically, he has to win this weekend in order to make the Masters, and that's going to be a tough one. He's 7 shots off the lead after round one. He went 1 under yesterday. The leader's at -7. So thank you for that. The text line brought to you today by Red Wing Shoes. Want to say as well, if you're looking for a good cup of coffee this morning, or if you like some of those fancy coffee drinks, the espressos, the steamers, Italian sodas, they got them there too. Moxie Java, the lights, that's where we all go over here. Some good faith, family freedom people over there running Moxie Java at the lights off Cheyenne. And you can get all your goodies there, and they do it right. Welcoming people, big smiles on the faces when you go over there. Get your day started with a fantastic cup of coffee from Moxie Java. Our studio sponsor, Zeus Sales and Leasing. We appreciate them making the show possible today from the Zeus Sales and Leasing Studio. It's 7:52 here. We're going to get a quick update from Dean, hopefully before the top of the hour, get our 3-degree guarantee. But before we do that, let's hit some sports headlines for you here this morning. It is opening day for the Minnesota Twins down in the Twin Cities. It's not going to be a very nice day. Might get to 40, but it's going to be cloudy, overcast, a little windy as the Twins open their 2026 home schedule against Tampa Bay at 3 o'clock today. Gates open at 1 o'clock, pregame happy hour with beer, snacks, and hot dogs for $2. So not bad. And there's breakfast on the plaza down there till 9 a.m. as well. So first 10,000 fans will get some Twins beanies. Taj Bradley got the Twins to 2-4 on the year yesterday as the young starting pitcher. 6 innings of shutout ball as the Twins were able to beat Kansas City by a score of 5-1. So Twins are 2-4 as they take the field at home for their first home game today. Minnesota Wild got a 5-2 win over Vancouver in St. Paul last night. Vancouver was ahead 2-1 after the first period, but the Wild responded with 4 unanswered goals, and they now will be in the playoffs. That clinches a spot in the NHL's postseason for them. So the Wild now third place in the division, third place in the Western Conference. Timberwolves lose at Detroit last night, 113-108. It's not as bad as maybe it sounds. Detroit's really good this year. They might be the best team in the Eastern Conference this year. And the Wolves were without Anthony Edwards and Jaden McDaniels. So the guys that were there did a pretty good job of hanging tough on that one. And as we talked about, Tom Hoge, a 1-under 71 yesterday at the Valero Texas Open as he will begin his round 2 today, 6 shots off the lead. All right, 7:54, Dean Wysocki is here. It's time for the 3-degree guarantee brought to you by Labor Masters. And, Dean, we've been talking about snowfall here, and I guess at some point we've got to talk about temps as well here.
Yeah, temperatures, well, I was forecasting 34 yesterday, and we hit 31. So that does fall within the 3-degree guarantee. But that just goes to show you, temperatures never even got to freezing yesterday, yet the roadways were all melted.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
That higher sun angle in April, even when it's cloudy, makes,
you know,
a big,
what we call
makes
that
a big difference.
On day one of the Twins home opener, we call that a strike on the outside corner.
There you
be off by
see,
3
there
degrees.
You go.
Just barely a strike.
I like it. Hey, hopefully they get their game in today for their home opener.
Yeah, we were just talking about that. Maybe some rain moving
yeah,
in.
Yeah, it's going to be a little – it might be a little evening. Difficult. Is it a night game?
3:10.
Oh.
So it looks like they might – the forecast down there says the rain starts 6:30.
Yeah, so they might squeeze it in. For us, though, we have winter storm warnings blanketing the area. That starts this afternoon. Now, when it goes into effect between 1 and 4, 1 o'clock here in the FM area, 4 o'clock in northern Minnesota. Now, that doesn't mean that, okay, 2, 3 o'clock, bam, we're not going to be able to get around. The snow will slowly spread in from the south and west. So as we head towards mid to late afternoon, we'll start to see that light snow overspread the area. Your evening commute could be a little bit slippery, but the main event comes in overnight tonight into about mid-morning on Saturday. That's when we'll see heavy snow. We'll see a little bit of wind overnight. I'm not too worried about a lot of blowing snow. But the snow will wind down as we head into tomorrow afternoon. Total snowfall, I was just taking a look at some of our latest data coming in, and they're focusing on from Lisbon through Fargo up through Bemidji. That's the corridor of some of the heavier snow. And it looks like latest model guidance is painting out about 9 to 10 inches of additional snow across our area. So it's going to be, if you have to get run errands for Easter, do that today for the first half of today. Get that out of the way. Travel tomorrow is going to be very, very difficult. So, again, 3-degree guarantee for today, 33.
Okay, sounds good, Dean. Appreciate you. All right, 56 past the hour. If you're just joining us, the March jobs number came in well above expectations today. But February was a tough month. January was okay. As I'm kind of taking a look at some of the reaction from the market observers, it seems like a lot of people are saying, you know what, the labor market's fairly stable here. Last month was an aberration. This month probably an aberration too. So overall, you kind of look at it as, you know, what did the quarter give us? The quarter gave us, it was fine. It wasn't blowout, but it was fine. And so when you have, you know, this particular month, March, we were in a war for a month, I think most people would say we'll take that. Pretty good signs from what's happened in the economy there. So that's kind of the big big bulletin, I guess, that we could say hitting today. All right, how about a little music history for this day? These are always fun to look back and you say, oh, I remember that song. On this day in 1979, Van Halen's album Van Halen 2 was certified gold. And I'll have to look and see what songs were on that one. I don't remember that one offhand. In 1986, Simply Red began its first U.S. tour in Los Angeles. Highly underrated. I love Simply Red. Just super soulful. Love that band. Madonna is dumped as a spokeswoman for Pepsi when her video, Like a Prayer, was regarded as blasphemous by the Vatican. I wonder if that would happen today, if Madonna would have been shouted down by the Vatican. Would Pepsi have dumped her today? I don't know. Feels like maybe they would say, oh, well, you know, if she would have said something about Islam, then she would have. But on this day in 1990, the B-52s got a gold record for their single, Rome. And on this day in 1992, MC Hammer, remember him? Hosted his first TV special on CBS, and then ironically, exactly 4 years later on this day, he filed for bankruptcy, saying he owed over $10 million to the IRS. So I guess he didn't save enough after the initial burst of publicity there. All right, WZFG Dilworth, Fargo Moorhead, USA. I would say it is a beautiful day as we start out. A little bit of cloud cover, but a few peaks of sunshine here. Decent temperatures. We're about 30 degrees. We'll take that. And as of right now, no snow. So mild, light winds, no snow. Enjoy it while it lasts, because Dean says 1-2 o'clock or so, things are starting to get really interesting around here. And he's thinking 8 to 10 inches of snow is going to fall in the metro area. If you're out in the Lakes Country, headed out toward Bemidji that way, you could be more than a foot of snow. So winter not done quite yet. And Dean says we may not even be done after this. There might be another system that gets just cold enough and just the right conditions where we might get some more snow here in another week and a half or so. So I guess it's where we live, right? I mean, I remember it snowing in May several times. So we can get that. We absolutely can. This hour of the program, the Need to Know Morning Show, is brought to you by Zeus Equipment Rentals and Sales. At Zeus, they keep you moving on your job or home project without the hassles of owning and maintaining your own equipment. You just rent it and go. They'll even take care of the delivery and pickup. Equipment rental, you can buy, you can rent, and maybe you got a piece of equipment, they might even buy it from you. So check them out at 951-RENT, 701-951-RENT or info@ZeusRentals.net. Zeus Tools, Equipment, Sales, Rentals, they got it all for you. I love going to places like that. I don't know what it is. If you go into a store, you realize, okay, if I wanted to like buy that scissor lift or whatever, a backhoe, like there's no way you could ever do it. When you walk into a place like Zeus, you look around and you go, like literally everything here, I could have that out in my yard for a day. I could do that. Now, I don't know what I would do with most of this stuff for sure, but man, these places are handy. You need some tables or chairs for an event you're setting up. Places like this, it's absolutely fantastic. You need that tool that you just don't use very often. You don't want to buy it, but the job you're doing, gosh, you need a really good whatever. Well, there you go. If you're doing a little project and finishing up a room, might need a nail gun. Well, you might not want to buy a nail gun, but you might want to rent one, and these guys do it. So I love places like Zeus. So fun. 10 past the hour of 8 o'clock here on the Need to Know Morning Show. Alex and Kevin with the day off here on Good Friday. Chris Larson hanging out with me. Chris doing all the heavy-duty lifting behind the scenes so I can hang out with you and chat about what's going on in this great world of ours. Chris, you got big plans for Easter? Are you getting together with the fam, doing a little dinner? What's going on with you guys?
So originally my mom and dad were going to be gone to Jackson, Minnesota to see my grandma on dad's side. That got canceled. And then with the snow, probably going to stay home.
Okay. Yeah, maybe that's the way to do it. We had a bunch of people coming in from Ariska. Natalie and her gang are coming in, and we can't wait. We're going to have a house full on Easter Sunday, and that's a ton of fun. My son is he was an engineer for an industrial design company in the cities. They've got him out in South Carolina flying home today, and he's got to go back on Monday. So he's like, Dad, is it okay if I don't come home for Easter? I love being home, but, man, I've been gone. I just kind of want to sleep. I said, dude, stop right there. You had me at hello. Stay down there. His girlfriend's down there. He'll hang out with them, and he's got a ton of friends down there. So we'll have most of the family together and the extended family, which is great. We love the Carguses, and it's always fun hanging out with them. So
what are
I think
making?
My son's in pretty good shape, and certainly we are too.
What are you making, Steve?
Well, I make myself scarce is what I make on Easter. I stay out of the way. Tracy and the girls will be cooking. Let's see, we've got, if I can remember this. Now, we are doing ham and a 7-layer salad. I understand Tracy making 7-layer salad. There's going to be I thought I heard like double fudge brownies and lemon meringue pie for dessert. We got some roasted vegetables coming in from the farm. So, yeah, so we're going to do it upright. Cheesy potatoes. Where you put the cornflakes on the top, you know? Let's go. Ham and cheesy potatoes. I absolutely love that stuff.
Tracy, 271-1100, tell me what time I need to be there on Sunday. 271-1100.
Oh, yeah. It's I don't know. We got a bunch of farmers coming in, so.
I'll sit in the garage. I don't care.
I'm just saying there might not be much left when the farm crew comes. And this guy right here, I'm putting my hand up. I can put the food away too, and I'm gonna be catching up. I've been doing a little kind of praying and fasting this week during Holy Week. We don't do Lent in the Baptist Church or Evangelical Church or whatever, but I have been doing this kind of just trying to get close to the good Lord. Well, it sounds really good when you come up with the idea, and then you realize how hungry you get when you're skipping a meal every day. And so I'm pretty sure by Sunday I will be catching up on my food intake. So I will not enjoy in moderation when it comes to Easter Sunday.
So, in other words, if he doesn't show up Monday morning for the Steve Hallstrom show, he's still in a food coma.
Darn right. Yeah. I don't know if you get the tryptophan from the ham like you do with the turkey, but it's the same kind of thing.
Same concept.
I don't know. What is salty meat? I don't know what it is, but give me salty meat of dang near any kind, and I just love it. And a good ham, you know, the kind of the thick cooked ham where you just bake the whole thing together. Yeah, I like the sliced ham for a sandwich once in a while, too. But, man, give me one of those big hams that just you bake it in the oven and it just gets just super juicy because it's just a big, thick cut of meat. I love that stuff. So, yeah, all good. So
okay, I'm hungry now.
I know. Yeah, same deal. Yeah. So love it, and hope that you have plans for Easter that will be meaningful to you and your family. It looks like from what Dean is talking about that it'll be okay to get to church on Sunday. Saturday's going to be tough. The winter storm warning we have from National Weather Service will go until 7 o'clock. So, but, you know, it'll settle down, and I think if the plows can get out, it feels like we're not going to have too much trouble getting in for Easter Sunday. I've always wanted to do, here at our building, we have this wonderful building that we lease from the Joe's family in right by Thunder Road, and I've always wanted to do an Easter egg hunt for little kids on Easter morning. Because down in the South, this is kind of a tradition. You get up and, you know, church is at 9 or 11 or whatever. So you do it like 7 o'clock and you do Easter eggs, get the little plastic eggs, and you put a little piece of candy and maybe, I don't know, a Bible verse or a little inspirational saying or something in there and just let kids go and just pick Easter eggs. When I was a kid, I used to love doing that. My kids did too. So like for their birthday parties when they were little, we used to like hide golf balls around the yard and they would go find golf balls. And so like it's in the Hallstrom blood that you love Easter egg hunts. But the problem is, like, the weather here always sucks on Easter. We, like, hardly ever have nice days on Easter. It's like, if there's any day when the good Lord should say, okay, everybody gets 75 and sunny, it should be Easter. But it just doesn't quite work that way. So I would love to do an Easter egg hunt here at our building some year. But this year, you couldn't find them because they all be buried under the snow. So I don't know. White Christmas, fine. White Easter, not so much. So I don't know if the Easter egg hunt will ever really take off. But I would love to do it. I mean, the smiles on kids' faces when they're chasing Easter eggs, Chris, man, that's like when life is good, when you see kids smiling and laughing like
it
that.
It is. It is so good.
The best ever. And get them sugared up, then send them to church and let somebody else do Sunday school. It'll be a lot of fun if you're a parent.
See, I would get them sugared up and then send them home to their parents.
Well, they get that for a little bit, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You just got to gotta limit the intake, not that that's anything easy. The stock market is closed for today, so we will not have any market activity. We did have a jobs report that came in much higher than expected, but February's number was so bad that it kind of just evens out here with what we're seeing for March. But a really good number. The expectation was 59,000 jobs. It came in at 178,000. And private sector jobs were up 186,000. Government jobs down 9,000. So, again, we're going the right direction with a lot of these things here on the labor side. Unemployment down from 4.4% to 4.3% month over month. So, again, a pretty stable labor market, which if you're looking for interest rate cuts, I don't know that this helps you. So it might be one of those things that we got to hang on for a little bit. The big stories in the news cycle today is that President Trump said yesterday, the big headline was that the U.S. hasn't even started destroying what's left in Iran, and previewed that strikes on bridges and power plants could be next. Iran is threatening more destructive retaliatory attacks to come, but they don't seem to be able to really do much of anything. So much of their military has been taken out. The other big news story yesterday, President Trump fired Pam Bondi as attorney general. He installed Todd Blanche as acting attorney general. And it looks as though Lee Zeldin is the front runner to be the new attorney general. He's the head of the EPA right now. One of the cool things that happened last night was that they had at George Washington University out in D.C., they had a Turning Point USA rally, and Erica Kirk and Caroline Levitt combined to give the students a great show last night, carrying on in Charlie's memory. And I want to play you just a little segment from that. And Erica Kirk was talking with Caroline about how she keeps her faith in such a crazy environment with as much madness as is going on in the country and at the frenetic pace of her days. And this is a little bit about how that conversation sounded.
When you have that heavy intake of the press and you're reading all the stories, like you said, as a Christian, how do you guard your heart and mind when you read all of these from all walks of life, all different media types? How do you guard your mind and your heart from letting it penetrate and just really upset you or throw your whole day or just mess with even the internal narrative that you guys have in the admin?
Through prayer and faith. It's the only way to just cover yourself in prayer and in faith. And, you know, faith gives you such perspective that even the worst story or the worst news cycle is just a moment and it's passing. This too shall pass.
And when you have that heavy intake of...
Yeah, so really good stuff there from Caroline Levitt. And, yeah, it will pass. Not always fun at the time, no doubt about that. 701-271-1100 if you want to send in a text message or give us a phone call today. And we'd love to hear from you. Crystal is on the line this morning, and she wants to talk about Turning Point USA, Erica and Caroline Levitt. Good morning, Crystal. How are you?
Well, I'm really good, and thank you for bringing that up. It was a tremendous interview, more or less, talking about how it is to be the press secretary and about how she got to that position and her work as a Republican woman and things like that. It was just fascinating. And also another Republican woman is Pam Bondi. And I think that the replacement for her is acting Attorney General Todd Blanche.
Yes.
Now, he can stay in that position for 210 days. And I'm thinking the president, I don't know this for sure, but the president could just leave him there until after the election. And the Democrats are going to scream and whine and cry. But after the election, we might have an increase in the Senate. We might have an increase in the House and show that the voters in across our nation are fed up with all these play the antics and the playing games that the Democrats are doing, and the liberals are dragging everything down. I mean, it's just disgusting. Mm. It's disgusting. And CPAC had an interview as well with Todd Blanche, and it's a fascinating thing about his experience. And as well as when he was named to replace Pam Bondi, he was on a podcast with a legal experts. And so he went in as a deputy and came out as the acting attorney general. So, I mean, things change really, really quickly.
Really fast, they do. Crystal, thank you.
Yeah.
Good stuff today. Happy Easter weekend to you. Thanks for giving a call into the program today. All right, 21 past the hour. Coming back, we got a check of weather. Dean's got the latest scans on this storm system rolling our way. We'll check sports as well when we come back on the Need to Know Morning Show. Steve in for Alex and Kevin today. Steve Ahlstrom, Chris Larson hanging out with you today for this Good Friday edition of the Need to Know Morning Show. Alex and Kevin off for the holiday. Dean Wysocki's been keeping his eye on this weather system, continually running updates to see what the models are showing. Dean, what have you learned this morning, maybe since you came in, that you weren't sure about when you put your head on the pillow last night about this system?
Well, you know, you always wonder what happens overnight. You know, I've seen strange things. These systems will roll into the Rockies and then you wake up the next morning and the new model runs are showing it a lot weaker, or, you know, something happens where we're going to get missed after fork. This it's been consistent. So consistency is good in terms of it gives more accuracy to the forecast. We're getting our morning model data in by 9:30 this morning. I'll have an article up on our website and on our social media showing what the latest model trends are. But right now, I'm leaning towards about, the models are really focusing in on about 9, 10 inches here in the FM area. So I'm thinking about 7, I'm going to go 7 to 11 across, the heart of this is going to stretch approximately south of Jamestown, Lisbon, up through Fargo, and out towards Bemidji, and into the Arrowhead of Minnesota. It looks like that'll be the axis of some of the heavier snow bands. Now, I see areas from Bemidji to Duluth that could easily pick up 14 to 17 inches of snow out of this. So those areas are going to get hit the hardest. But again, this will be the biggest snow we've seen here in the FM area since March of 23. So it's been a few years since we've gotten quite a bit of snow. And this one looks to have the crosshairs pretty close to the FM area, with a far northern valley a little less, 4 to 7, and about the same in the far southern valley in the Southern Lakes country.
Now, I know down in the cities, they're expecting a little bit of rain. Will it be warm enough here where we might get some rain today?
No. None.
Okay.
Nope. The far southern valley down towards Sisseton, they might mix in a little at the onset. They might mix in a little bit of rain with the snow, but other than that, this is going to be an all snow.
We don't need any of that.
No.
You get that stuff and, oh, that cakes on the power lines and trees and everything else.
Yeah,
so, okay.
This is going to be that heavy, wet snow. Now, we've got winter storm warnings in effect. They go into effect this afternoon. Now, that doesn't mean, all right, 2, 3 this afternoon, we're not going to be able to get around. They're just, that's when the warning, that's when the Weather Service put the warning into effect to give people the heads up. Conditions will start to deteriorate a little bit towards evening rush. We'll start to see a little bit of slippery travel, nothing that you can't get around in. And then overnight through about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, that's when we're going to see the heavy snow. Travel tomorrow is going to be very, very difficult. Throughout much of the day. Now, the snow will taper off tomorrow afternoon, but I'll tell you what, if you're getting 8, 10, 11 inches, that's going to take a while to clean off the roadways, and travel is going to be, like I said, very difficult tomorrow. So if you have any errands to run for Easter, if you're traveling anywhere, get that done today. I can't emphasize that enough. Now, as you get later in the day, if you're going west towards Bismarck or Dickinson, and you're going to run into slippery travel later this afternoon going west, so just keep that in mind as well. But other than that, after this storm departs, Easter Sunday looks much better. Still chilly in the 30s, but we're going to see a melting on the roadways at least. So the road conditions will be much better for Easter Sunday. And then next week we'll have temperatures in the 30s and 40s most of next week. Might see a little light snow event towards the end of next week, maybe around Wednesday, Thursday. But that doesn't look to be a big deal. But again, we're kind of in an unsettled weather pattern for the next 12 days, where I do see maybe one more storm that's going to affect the state with snow that could be on the stronger side. Nothing like this, though.
Okay.
So again, travel, get that done today. Get all your errands done today. Again, about 8, 11 inches of snow expected here in the FM area.
When do you think, Dean, if we, let's say we get 10 inches of snow, based on the temperature forecast that you're looking at, when do we melt this off so that we get back to what we had, basically no snow on the ground anywhere before this system came in?
I'd say a week.
Take a week, melt it off in a week?
Yeah, maybe a little less, depending on how much sun. You know, if we get more sun, even with temperatures in the low 40s, if we get sun, that's going to melt it real quick, a lot quicker. So I'd say within a week it'll be gone.
Sounds good, man. Appreciate you, Dean.
You bet.
Chief Meteorologist Dean Wysock. Yeah, I see the Rasmussen presidential approval poll today has things going in a good direction for the president. If you go back to March 30th, he was at a low point at 43%. They poll this every day. So it's not like they're just kind of coming out of nowhere. I like polls where they measure it on a regular basis, and they do this every day. His approval rating on March 30th was 43%, but now he's at 46%. So it seems like the president's approval rating going up a little bit. It's ticked up slowly day by day since the 30th. So he's at about 50%. If you go back to where past presidents were, Trump isn't really doing any worse than any of them. So don't let people fool you when they tell you, oh, nobody likes Trump, everybody hates Trump. You hear a lot of that kind of thing, but definitely not true on that. So 50-50 during a time of war? Well, that's not too bad when you think about that. All right, we're coming up on Fox Business Bottom of the Hour Report, where we get a little business update. When we come back on the other side, it's opening day for the Minnesota Twins. We'll tell you about that. A couple other cuts. Taylor's TiVo turns into Hallstrom's Review coming up in a bit. 8:36, Need to Know Morning Show. Steve in for Alex and Kevin. I don't think I've called this the Steve Hallstrom Show yet, so a success. I was a little concerned about that. Did this show for a number of years, and then transitioned to doing actually no show for a while, and then back in the afternoons, and now 9 to 11. So coming up today, some special holiday programming coming up on the flag here today. So good to be with you here hanging out so Alex and Kevin can have a little bit of a break this morning and enjoy the weekend. The Need to Know Morning Show brought to you in part by Prairie Oral and Facial Surgery in Fargo. Their dedicated doctors provide expert, compassionate care that helps you achieve optimal health and confidence. I went to Prairie Oral and Facial Surgery, Dr. Smart over there, not too long ago for a dental implant that I needed to have done, and I could not have been any more impressed. It's not the place, I mean, let's just be honest, it's not the kind of place that you'd choose to go most of the time, right? Because It's some pretty serious stuff they do over there. But when you go over there, I can tell you the first time you walk in, you're like, oh, man, this is going to be really bad. And then you walk in, and the people are so nice and friendly, a warm, friendly environment there. The doctors and nurses are so nice and so helpful and ask you a million questions. And I had a question after my first procedure was done there, and I got the doctor's response right away on that, and they were able to answer the question I had. And just really great customer service there. So thank goodness that we have people that do what they do at Prairie Oral and Facial Surgery, because a lot of dentists just can't do what they do over there. And do you want to drive to the cities or someplace? No, you don't want to do that. You want to do that right here. So very thankful for them. They say they're committed to excellence. I can tell you firsthand that they absolutely are. It's a welcoming, comfortable environment. And they always say it over there, that they're honored to be part of your journey to restored health and well-being. That's what they do at Prairie Oral and Facial Surgery. You'll have a wonderful experience over there, I promise you, at Prairie Oral and Facial Surgery. We appreciate their sponsorship of the Need to Know Morning Show. All right, I want to continue a little bit of a discussion that I have had with my audience on the Steve Hallstrom Show. And I know many of you listen to both shows, and we're thankful for that. CBS News is trying to remake its image from just another woke national news agency to somebody who's trying to be fair and balanced. And I think the people who do this best are the Fox News people. I'm not talking about the talk shows. I'm talking about the news programs like Brett Baer's Special Report. It's such a good show, and it's the best news program out there. But I am quickly becoming a fan of Tony DeCoppel and the CBS Evening News and what they're doing on their websites. If you compare like ABC News's website to CBS News' website, it's very different. They're trying to get back to what news used to be, when it wasn't so one-sided, it wasn't so woke, and it was just a good, balanced perspective on what we're seeing happening through the day. And they are continuing to do this good work. They did a story yesterday about the U.S. Department of Justice announcing 8 people have been arrested and federally charged with a fraud investigation in Los Angeles. And this is a little bit about what it sounded as CBS reported on it. They were the first ones to report the arrest of a married couple in L.A. who apparently defrauded Medicare out of more than $7 million.
CBS News is first to report the arrest today of a married couple in Southern California accused of ripping off Medicare for nearly $7.5 million through a series of fraudulent hospice claims. Over 700 hospices in Los Angeles County alone have red flags for fraud, according to our investigative team. In this particular case, the flags included a 5-year survival rate of 97%. High for what is supposed to be end-of-life care. The FBI says additional arrests are expected.
Yeah, so, I mean, they're doing these stories. I think if CBS News had been run by Barry Weiss, she is the new head of news at CBS, back when the Hunter Biden laptop story would have come out, I think we would have seen it. I think we would have seen something about COVID deaths from the vaccine, which we never heard anybody admit to. So I am really interested to watch as this continues to go, but they have been doing what they've been doing for about maybe 3 months or so. And I now have this as a regular stop on my tour of places I try to get news from for my show. And if I have the opportunity, I'm not usually in a place to watch the evening network news, but this is the one that I would watch. And I think it's good for America. And I think it's good for the conservative movement when we have impartial news, because most of the national news is scripted drama, highly liberal, and is anti all the things that you and I believe in. So I'm really glad that these guys are doing what they've been doing. I also want to talk for a minute about a video that I saw about the Christians in Ethiopia gathering during this Good Friday week to basically honor everything in Holy Week here. And it's amazing, the video that I'm seeing. It is hundreds of thousands of Ethiopians in Addis Ababa, which I believe is the capital city there. And I'm seeing some commentary on this as well, that the people in Ethiopia, now this is a place where Islam is very, very much alive and well, and probably the predominant religion. But apparently these Christians in Ethiopia are ones that have gained a reputation around the world as being some of the most devout Christians and people who are going to stand in the face of any adversity to honor God and Jesus during weeks like this. And it can be very risky to them. But you look at these videos and the sea of humanity, and you have to be very careful, obviously, but I've tried to do a little sleuthing, like, you know, is this a real video? What's a typical gathering look like? And I'm seeing a number of pictures and videos like this as well. And this is, I think, something really worth being encouraged by. And it's a big, big deal. So it looks like a giant poppy field, because you have all of these people, they're all wearing white on these pilgrimages that they're doing there. So I've heard people say that the faith and devotion of these people, and they call them Coptic Christians over in that part of the world, apparently. The more official name is Ethiopian Orthodox Christians, and it's one of the oldest Christian communities in the world. So very encouraging, and I would have loved to have been in the middle of this. I'd have been the only white guy there, I'll tell you that, but I would have loved to have been part of this scene this week, to walk with those beautiful people and honoring the good Lord on a week like this. And I know that President Trump is doing a kind of a recommitment to faith in May. I think it's May 17th. And I'm interested to see what that looks like. That could be kind of a pilgrimage for believers to come to D.C. I don't remember anything like that. Do you? If you do, 271-1100. But I don't really remember like a large gathering. Maybe Billy Graham did something on the National Mall, but an opportunity for believers, not an inauguration ceremony, nothing political, but just a gathering of believers to Washington, D.C. We have gathering of, liberals and I hate Trump and all that. Those things happen regularly in D.C., but interested to see how that plays out. Hopefully we look a lot like the Ethiopians, just with a little lighter skin hue when it is time for that. All right, wanted to make sure we got that in here for you today. All right, one more break to take, so let's do that. When we come back on the other side, we've got one more check. Dean is running one more check of the weather forecast for us to make sure that we're staying up to date on what's going on with the storm rolling in. And we'll do that with Dean when we come back on the Need to Know Morning Show. Don't go away. From the text line this morning, the Red Wing Shoes text line. Steve, good to hear you in the morning. Tomorrow marks 5 weeks into the 4 to 5 week length for Operation Epic Fury, and there might be another 2 or 3 weeks to go. Do you really think it's going to end in a couple weeks? I'm doubting it. I would be for this war if there was evidence of Iran having nuclear weapons, but there isn't. Okay, so this is, first of all, thank you for the kind word about being here in the morning. Yeah, I have the same impression you do about the war. I think it's going to be another 2 or 3 weeks. Basically, Trump has 8 weeks or 60 days where he can do military operations without Congress declaring war. So my guess is this is going to end, because it has to, here in 60 days. And I don't know that I ever heard 4 to 5 weeks at the beginning as this is the length and for sure it won't ever be any different. But I do remember feeling like I had 6 weeks in mind as kind of some of the initial messaging I heard. And the comment about I would be for this war if there was evidence of Iran having nuclear weapons, but there isn't. I think it's an overwhelming sentiment of those who observe that Iran has been doing whatever they can to get nuclear weapons. And, you know, I'd hoped back when we did the bunker buster bombs that we got it all, but you knew that we didn't. And so they were able to, I guess, extricate some of the uranium, or they probably were saving it in multiple places. So I don't think it's likely that there was no uranium there and that they're on the verge of nuclear weapons. So I've not heard anybody say that there's no – I just haven't heard of many people considering that as a realistic possibility that there wasn't nuclear weapons or that they weren't close to it. So I hear what you're saying. I hope that this can be done very quickly. I will say that it will be sad if the president is limited from going further than 60 days, because at this point we cannot do a partial job here. You got to get all the bad guys, and that's going to take boots on the ground. It just is. And you got to get all the uranium out of there. And that's going to require ground troops. There's just no other way to do it. Now, if they're militarily disabled, which it sounds like they are, that obviously would make it easier for ground troops to go in there. But at this point, we've got to finish that job. You cannot go this far and have loss of American life and all the expense and all that and just pull out and say, well, we got most of it, I think. Can't do that in this case. So we've got to finish that job. I hope the president isn't prevented from doing that. And at this point, I think none of us ever wanted to see boots on the ground over there, but boots on the ground that are not actively, you know, engaging with enemy troops, that would be nice. There's certainly going to be booby traps and things over there. We know that as well. War is messy. It just is. And if the intel they had was accurate, that they were within a couple weeks of having the ability to, you know, put together these nuclear weapons, then it's something that you had to do. And I don't think any president throughout the course of time has not said some version of, yeah, someone really needs to take out the Iranian leadership. It's just that this is a president to do it. Let's go to the phone lines. Ben is on the line. He'd like to get a word in here with us today. Hi, Ben.
Good morning, Steve. The thing that I don't know if people understand, the Islamic world, they're waiting for the 12th Imam. And all the Arab world believes the 12th Imam is coming to save the world and to install Islam along the world. But the difference between the Shiites and the Sunnis is the Sunnis figure he'll come on his own time. The Shiites figure they can force him to come. Hmm. And by forcing them to come, they will start an apocalyptic war. And that's their goal. That's why they want atomic weapons, because they want the 12th Imam to come, and the Mahdi. And when Ahmadinejad spoke in front of the UN the one time, he said, and may the Mahdi come soon, meaning they hoped they could get a war going so the Mahdi would come and kick all us infidels, you know, out of existence.
Yeah.
And that's their primary goal, but nobody seems to talk about that.
Yeah, Ben, really
good. They're not crazy.
Good
perspective. They're religious fanatics.
Yeah, they're fanatical. That's right. It's... No, I don't think there's any insanity there other than, you know, how we would use the term, definitely. But, yeah, it's a religious war for many of them, no question about that. Ben, thank you for calling. Appreciate
the
perspective.
Have a great day.
Have a great day, sir. And thanks for adding that perspective. I think I had heard about the 12th Imam somewhere along the way, but way more detail there than I had heard. So appreciate that, Ben. Thanks for giving a call there. I want to finish up with this one. Hollywood's job market is collapsing, reports the Wall Street Journal. And California, Los Angeles, they just continue to shoot themselves in the foot. And they've got a story about all the jobs they've lost there over just the last 4 years. And in TV alone, the number of days of on-location production activity in L.A. went from 18,000 to basically 6,500. So you just don't see, and movies is the same way, commercials, same way. And it's a century-old economy, the entertainment world, and it is dying fast, and it doesn't show any signs of a turnaround. And I had to laugh at the comment by Jesse Kelly, who hosts a show called The Jesse Kelly Show, on The First, which is a really great kind of webcast show. He says it this way: if you've ever flown into Los Angeles, you understand how gorgeous and perfect Southern California is. It takes a superhuman effort to make that paradise a place where nobody wants to live or do business. But communists were up to the task. That's about it. Well said. Communists were up to the task. They said, hold my beer. All right. The What's On Your Mind program coming up next. Oh, we got a minute left. Okay, great. I thought we were done at 8:55:50, so we got one more minute to go. Let's see. What else can I tell you here? That I had one other thing that was that I a net migration. This is a good one too. How many people have left major U.S. cities in 2025? El Paso down 95%, Denver 72%, Los Angeles 67%, New York 65%, 62%. That's not population, that's the net migration. And it does appear as though the whole world is seeing ICE out there enforcing the immigration law, and we're seeing definitely population changes in some of those big cities. Celebrate good Easter. Happy Easter to you. Stay tuned. What's on your mind is next.